hello and welcome to
the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Barada, and with me to break down, what is this, week nine? Yeah, it's week nine. Week nine of the college football season. James Bitter. James, how we doing?
Marvelous. Happy and excited for another week.
I am too. You have taken the lead on me. I've got some work to do. So when I go 5-0 this week, I'm sure I'll take the lead back because you're a bum. All right. What do you think the biggest news was other than Illinois' electric offense against Penn State? Oklahoma?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I would just say the parity this year as a whole. I saw a stat. I can't remember which game I was watching, but they flashed on ESPN. There have been, I couldn't tell you the exact number, but I want to say it's 40-something AP top 25 teams that have lost this year. And with 8 weeks left in the season, it's like the most there's ever been. So this year, more than ever, we're seeing upsets left and right. And I think if you take Georgia out of the mix, the other 125 or so teams are all in a group this year. And there's no team really near Georgia in my mind. I'll put it that way.
I agree. I think it's – so as someone who wants to watch CJ Stroud succeed, I think – and, like I've loved the last couple of weeks just because of my – I've got a good price on him to win the Heisman. Now I'm starting to see, you know, the Ohio State sleeper cell pop up. Ooh, elite team, but they still can't cover the pass. And like the past couple of weeks, they've played like your average Big Ten defense, just with really bad passing offenses. And so like, it'll be interesting to see them go up against what's a pretty good defense in Penn State. Actually, I would say they are a good defense.
Elite, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and we'll talk about that more later. But, you know, you watch Oklahoma struggle this week. You watch Cincinnati struggle this week. You can call me, you know, you can call me out for like exaggerating a bit, but like, I'm still not like super, super, super bought into Alabama like I was last year as a contender. And by that, I mean, I don't mean they're like, oh, they're like the 10th best team. Like, obviously, they're a top five team, but. Like, I'm not sure they have not necessarily the firepower, but the consistency of like a Georgia and that you would need to beat a Georgia. Now, that's not to say that they wouldn't be live against Georgia, because I certainly think they will be. But kind of like looking back through the games, you can kind of see how A&M kind of got to them a little bit. Florida kept that game largely competitive for most of it. And they gave up a bunch of points to Tennessee this past weekend, who with a quarterback who was battling injury and all this kind of, their running back was out, all this kinds of stuff. And I think there is such a big gap between Georgia and the next guy that I am more excited about whatever the 2-3 semifinal matchup is, I think, than the championship. Is that a weird thing to say?
No. I actually think that's the case in most years. Or I wouldn't say the case. I would say that the championship are usually two teams that have separated themselves. This year, it's just one. So it's different than it's been definitely the last 4 or 5 years, for sure.
So if you had to kind of make your own price, what would you have? Would it be Georgia minus 110 right now to win the national title, or like, and you could even put in like probability, like kind of what would you make Georgia as the favorite?
I think 110 is pretty perfect. Honestly, I for sure minus money. I think the odds of them winning are probably above 50%. If you think about what they've done already, they should run the table in the regular season. If they win this game, I think the probability jumps exponentially. This is probably their last tough game. Tennessee is not horrible this year, so that could be a little tough game, I think, next week as well. But they can even lose the SEC championship and they're still in the playoff. I mean, they've established their dominance. And then on a neutral field, they're going to be favorites by a touchdown, most likely over just about everyone. I think Ohio State and Bama could definitely be.
Alabama. No, I think against Alabama and the SEC championship, my guess would be 3 or 4. And I would even be more likely to say 3. I think Alabama's just getting a bunch of market respect right now, especially like after what they've done, just kind of like in the wake of the A&M. Like the offense looks really good.
Yeah, that's fair. But like if outside of Alabama, I Ohio State's probably closer to 7. But yeah, I mean, they're going to be pretty big money line favorites all the way through. So I think pick or better is not the worst play, especially with the way they've looked. And they're doing with Stetson Bennett. They aren't even doing with JT Daniels yet. They've had him on the shelf.
Which, I mean, Stetson Bennett's gotten way better the past couple of years he's played. Are we sure that JT Daniels is going to be an upgrade?
Yes, for sure.
He's done exactly what he's needed to do, and like he's even been able to mix in an explosive play here and there.
That was always his thing. He's not going to lose you games.
That's true.
Like that's all he needs to do right now. I mean, as long as that defense is on the field, you put up 14, you're looking pretty good.
And I know that I've texted you. I've even said it on here a couple times, but their skill talent, especially at like tight end. But like it is incredible. Their receivers are great. I don't even think it's close, but they have by far the best running back tandem in the country. O-line is great as it always is. And on top of that, there's still a chance that their best receiver who hasn't played yet comes back from an injury and plays late in the year. And they have a former Gatorade player of the National Player of the Year, number one overall recruit tight end who I still don't really know what's going on. At this point, I just assume he's not going to play. But if you add him to the fold, I don't know if he's been practicing or what. But you could have me playing quarterback, and I think I'd win the national title.
Threw a pretty mean spiral. So
I know that.
This isn't hyperbole here.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I have about 10 yards downfield, and no one can touch me. I feel like we covered a little bit there. Do you have – the Big Ten is about to, like, just beat the crap out of each other soon.
Yeah.
Do you expect Ohio State to end up on top?
I do. Coming from the West, I don't think Iowa can beat them, especially with that just really bad offense. We've already talked about this matchup, but I think Iowa first half could be a pretty interesting look. And then second half adjustments and that offense just not doing anything and being anemic. And the defense wearing out could take its toll. But I think Ohio State does make their way back into the playoff picture.
There's some ugly, ugly Big Ten games this week. You got Rutgers, Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin. Who's Minnesota plays Northwestern. And then Michigan State, I would call a rock fight too.
Absolutely.
Which that's actually a great segue. Is there any Heisman things you want to talk about?
No, CJ Stroud's getting a lot of love, but like you pointed out,
I'm pumped, and I think he has the best like kind of schedule makeup to take advantage of that too. So I'm very excited to have things have kind of worked out so far. If you are, and this is just kind of my strategy at it, I guess I can talk about it now. If you are holding a long shot CJ Stroud ticket, I've got a 30-1 one. So what I'm going to do is, before rivalry week, I expect Ohio State to be a one-loss team still, and I do expect big numbers. But I'm going to bet that's when I'm going to bet by Bryce Young, because I would imagine it becomes a kind of a two-horse race at that point with Matt Crowell. I expect a loss for Ole Miss sometime soon. And so I kind of think that will take him out of it. But I think that Bryce Young and CJ Stroud will be comparably priced at that point. And that's kind of where I'm going to hedge, because I could see Bryce Young having a pretty big game against Auburn. And I could see that being enough, which I still don't really agree with. There's been no real wow factor from Bryce Young for me. Granted, I don't think I could say that about any player in the Heisman race really, but that's kind of going to be my hedge point, and where I'm hoping that Alabama loses, I am going to try and want to recoup a little bit of value on that ticket. So that's kind of where I'm at, but we've got some good games to talk about this week. We're going to start with Michigan at Michigan State. The Spartans are getting 4.5, and it's still 4.5 or is it 4 now?
4.
Okay. And the total is at 50.5. James, I'll let you start. We both bet the under. Tell me why.
Both teams are run heavy, run first. And I think both these defenses are pretty elite. It's also a big game. This is probably the first time in 5-6 years that both teams have been in the top 10, maybe even ranked. So I expect this game to be very conservative to start. If you want to play first half under 24, under 24 and a half, I really like that look as well. But full game, it's really hard for me to find an avenue for these teams getting to 50 or 50 and a half, which it is now. Like Chad said, we bet at 51. Still like it at 50 and a half. I just think both these teams match up pretty well with each other defensively, and neither of these offenses are as explosive as their numbers might say. They've been really good playing bad teams this year. They've run up the score, Michigan especially. They love running up the score and when they're more physical than the other team. But in a rivalry game like this, I think points are at a premium. We see a bit of a rock fight here. Like this under. In terms of the side, I lean Michigan. I just think Michigan State's been pretty fraudulent this year. If you look at some of these box scores, like the Nebraska game or the Indiana game, I mean, they get completely outplayed, but they have pretty crazy luck and some fortunate plays to turn the games around, like a punt, return touchdown, pick six, this type of stuff here and there. I think Michigan's just a better team. So a flat four, think about betting Michigan, but love the under.
So I've got a couple things. Of course, I mean, I agree with everything you just said. My one worry about first half under is I think that we might see some like trick plays early or like, you know, kind of gadget plays where it could either put a defense in a great situation or an offense in a bad situation. So that's kind of why I have an aversion to that. My other thing is that it's supposed to rain like pretty heavily Friday. And while it is supposed to clear up Saturday, but like it is the weather and we're talking about it on the Wednesday. So there is a chance that could change. And then we've got about 10 to 15 mile an hour winds Saturday too. So that's not super, super crazy, but it could be enough to kind of alter things a little bit. My other thing, and this actually pertains to the game, is so both defenses are really good against the run. Both teams love to run the ball. And Michigan State has a slightly above average pass defense, which like, you know, it's not horrible, but I wouldn't really call it like suffocating either. But I'm not sure Michigan will take advantage of it. Cade McNamara's depth of target so far this year has been horrible. It's like he's only throwing two-yard passes. And well, it's another reason why I love the under. And so if he's not beating them deep, I'm not really sure that Michigan can take advantage of Michigan State flaws on their defense. So that is why I like the under. I lean Michigan State. Michigan hasn't really played anyone really. Not that Michigan State has, but I do think that they've played a little bit higher quality of teams. And they have overall, like, you and I were both so low on this team coming into it. And I think we both hate the coach.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
both coaches are pretty conservative. We love this under. I would like to say that now. This under is one of our favorite plays. Is it one of mine? No.
I should have put it in my top five. But
I feel like I should have too.
It would have made my top five if I had thought about it.
Yeah.
We talked about it, so we both bet it. So I think we both just decided to leave it out.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm actually kind of excited to watch this game. This is super important for the rest of the season. And it could like really shape how playoff rankings, which come out, was it next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to watch. Both teams undefeated. I imagine they'll both be ranked above Ohio State, if I had to guess, just because they lost, but you never really know with those things. But let's move on to the team that will be number one, Georgia, traveling to Florida for the world's largest cocktail party. Big time rivalry game between the two schools. Florida getting 14. Total is at 51. I'll start. This is my favorite play of the weekend. I love the over in this game. So while it's not super dependent on who plays quarterback for Florida, but I do like this more with Anthony Richardson. And I think that with what he provides, just in terms of his whole game is just pure explosion. Whether it's running the ball, he's throwing the ball. He's throwing bullets all over the place, downfield, everything. And I also think that he can kind of get into trouble with, he like forces a couple, like too many passes towards the middle of the field sometimes. And I think if we get that, we might get some really positive field position for Georgia. So you kind of combine the explosion and, you know, the field flipping that I think will come. And when Georgia's, if Georgia's going to get a short field, they are going to score. Florida's defense is a sieve. I was trying to use that word. I don't think I ever pronounced it correctly, but Florida just gave up what, 51 points to LSU.
Yeah.
With their two best receivers out. And like literally every other problem you could think of on the LSU offense, it happened to Georgia. It happened to LSU. And I think that Georgia's offense, as we mentioned before, it's so efficient. It's so talented. And I think I don't care who's playing quarterback for Georgia. I think they're going to score so much. And I actually like the Florida offense. I think there's a lot of talent there. And like I said before, I think Anthony Richardson just makes big plays. And I do think they can kind of run into a couple home runs here and score enough points to where this, I don't really have to depend on Georgia a whole lot to go over this total. I think this should be closer to 54, 55. And I think that I bet an over 50, I would still bet at 51. James, what do you think?
I think you make really solid points. You also did not allude to the fact that Florida had a bye last week. And Dan Mullen in these matchups is a big dog, has statistically been very good. So I think Florida can actually get some points here. And I think that's the whole key to this, because their defense has not been very good this year at all. Georgia on the other side, I think if they get a lead, they won't be scared to run it up. Last year, Florida kind of ran it up on them, won 44-28. I don't think we're going to see 72 points in this one, but I think there are a lot of avenues to over 50. In terms of the side, I also lean towards Florida at 14. I just think 2 weeks rest and Dan Mullen prepping for a big game like this bodes well for them.
I also actually lean Florida plus 14 too. I think that, yeah, two touchdowns too big.
I think the first half would probably be my angle, because he'll bring out the trick play, gadget plays, all this. But I don't want to play a side. I will be playing the over with you.
Nice. All right. Moving on, in the SEC, Ole Miss at Auburn. Auburn is lane 3, total is 66. I think we might have some slight disagreement here, so I'll let you start. You like Ole Miss, right? Or you lean Ole Miss?
Yeah, I lean Ole Miss. I lean Ole Miss. I just think they're the better team here. Getting 2.5 or 3 feels like a little too high in my opinion. I've been really impressed by Ole Miss. Last week I watched the majority of that game against LSU. Their defense actually played pretty well. Even against Tennessee, their defense looked pretty good, considering what we know about Tennessee now on that offense. But I don't think Auburn's that good. I know you're higher on Auburn than I am, but at 3, I'd seriously consider playing Ole Miss. 2.5, I'll probably pass, but I just think Ole Miss offense is too dynamic. I think they can do a lot here. Auburn's defense has been pretty good this year, but the playmakers that Ole Miss has, and Corral getting healthier, he only had a few carries last week to help kind of save his legs, and I think in part that might be for this game. But I just think there's a lot of avenues for Ole Miss to cover this number. And they have a thing for playing close games, like the Tennessee game and then the Arkansas game the week before. I think the 2.5 or 3 could definitely matter. And I don't hate Ole Miss as a money line round robin play.
Yeah, I think that's all true. I definitely lean Auburn. And I think that my bet here is Auburn team total over. And I love what Ole Miss does on offense. It's creative, it's efficient, it's explosive, but their defense is awful. They don't do well against the pass, and they're even worse against the run. I think Auburn's going to completely dictate the physicality of the game with the run. Tank Bigsby, while he hasn't had super huge numbers running the ball, I think he is primed for a pretty big game here. And I think the total is about right. I think that I trust Brian Harsin enough to come up kind of with like a good game plan to slow down kind of like successful pass plays, explosive pass plays for Ole Miss. And I just have a hard time like getting myself to back the Ole Miss defense. You saw in like the Arkansas game, for example, and I think Auburn is of a pretty comparative level, that when they needed to get a stop late in the game, you know, they scored with a minute left, you know, just, oh, go into prevent, and our Arkansas moved the ball at will with, and they had like no real regard for like the clock or anything, just because they knew they were going to pick up a gain of 15 yards on seemingly every play, and they did. And I think that running the ball, I think Auburn is going to be pretty successful in this regard. So I do like over Auburn team total here. Do you have any kind of rebuttal to that?
No, I think that there's actually a lot of points in this game. I also lean to the over. I kind of like just a thing, like any Ole Miss total below like 65 or in that region, I lean to more overs than not. The unders have cashed the last few weeks and I've seen lower scoring games, but I just think there's a little too much correction in this one. That defense has been playing better, but there's still a liability for sure.
Yeah. That's absolutely. Actually, I did have one more point. I think Ole Miss's like running game has been the most underrated part of their team this year. And like, it's been on par with their offense, where it is their running backs running it or Corral running it. And I do think Auburn is set up to kind of defend it pretty well. They've got like good bodies up front, and the scheme kind of fits to slow it down too. So that's just kind of where I'm at. But back to the Big Ten, Penn State at Ohio State. Ohio State laying 18.5. Total is 60. For me, it's hard to bet to lay the points with Ohio State here. I'm not going to do it. We talked about this earlier. I think we both love Ohio State team total over. It's been cashing for a while. I have no trust in Penn State on offense specifically. Clifford is very clearly banged up, and their backup is just so bad. And while I think that Penn State's defense is very talented, it's they've lost too many kind of like key players to trust. And especially in on the D-line, I think is where it's going to rear its head the most, because they're going up against what most people think is the best O-line in the country. And there's going to be huge, huge, huge holes in the running game for Ohio State, which could certainly turn this into an ugly game. What are your thoughts here?
So I bet the full game under 59.5. It's moved a half point up, so I guess I'm kind of sucker for that. But I share the same sentiments as you. I mean, I think the look ahead on this one was minus 11. And then based off 1 week of play and Ohio State looking like a train, like the way they have the last few weeks, and Penn State just laying an absolute egg. By the way, Chaz doesn't like tout, but I believe he had a money line on Illinois plus 1,000, plus 1050.
I was about plus 1050, almost 11 to 1.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was sweating my balls off in that game. Yeah. We didn't even really talk about the game at all. Are you a fan of the 2-point conversion overtime?
I loved it. That was insane.
I feel like that's, we have unpopular opinions on that too. I think it's so fun to watch. It is.
That was unbelievable. They went 6 overtimes without scoring to start it.
In my mind, I was kind of thinking, I was like, I wonder if you could opt to kick an extra point and then just decide, I kind of trust my defense to get a stop here.
I mean, if that were the case, they both would have done it like the third overtime.
Yeah, I think you're right. Just turn it into an extra point off.
Yeah.
That would get a little boring. So this is off on a tangent at this point. If I could have one critique, just do it on one side of the field.
Yeah, I hate walking back.
It took too long in between. It was stupid. Yeah.
That's the way it's always kind of been, though. Like, they can make change sides and all that. Yeah. It's just tradition, but.
Oh, no. I thought it was fun. And, of course, like, I won my bet, so I was jumping up and down. But back to Penn State. Continue. Sorry.
All good. It's like you said. I bet the under because Ohio State's been dominating teams with, like, just okay defenses, pretty bad secondaries. I mean, they've just put 40-plus, 50-plus last few weeks. Without like breaking a sweat, like 42 in the first half last week. I just think Penn State's defense is too good for that. They're an elite defense. I think they're probably a top 10 defense in the country. I'd go as far as saying that.
I'd agree.
In their losses, it's not because of their defense, because their offense is just ridiculous. Like that Iowa game, the defense played really well. It's just backup quarterback came in. And then last week, I mean, you can only stop a team 9 times in overtime, still lose. But I think if I could adjust my play, it'd probably be Penn State team total under. instead of the full game. What Ohio State can do on offense does scare me a little bit. So it makes me a little wary of my under 59.5, but it's just only in Penn State. I can't believe the number is this high. It's warranted, but it's expensive. So bet the under full game. I'm probably passing at this point.
Yeah. That's true. You are buying Penn State at their absolute low point, and you're paying for Ohio State at what's at this point in the season has been their absolute high point. Maybe pre-Oregon was higher, but I think they've gained so much more market respect here I think you do have to give credit to teams that do just absolutely annihilate the teams they should annihilate. So like, I don't want to say that's a reason to fade Ohio State, but it's in terms of like what the number is at, I just have a hard time betting Penn State. And so it's just a lean for me, Penn State. Maybe I kind of try and find something live or a second half look, but that's all I really got there. So sorry to disappoint my Penn State and my Ohio State fans. And then final game, a little off the beaten path, might not be marquee to some, but we're both SEC Aztec fans, so I decided to throw it in. The Mountain West game of the year, Fresno State at SEC, well, technically at SCSU. It's the games being played in LA. SCSU -1, total 44.5. I don't have a lot of opinions here. I think SCSU has a top five defense in the country, and that includes the Power Five. I'm curious to hear your thoughts here.
So I actually kind of lean to Fresno. What Fresno does on offense scares me. I think Haener and that offense is actually very good, especially for like a group of five team. If you like SCSU, you hear, I think it's very correlated to the under. If this gets into a shootout, they're not going to beat Fresno State. They need this to be like a 17-13, 21-17 type of game for them to be in it. Their defense is more than capable of doing that. So, I want to bet SCSU just because like I want to root for them and have some rooting interest on top of just basically locking up the Mountain West South Division if they win this one. But honestly, I'll probably just pass it and watch and root for SCSU as is. I think Fresno State is really good. And their two losses are kind of fluky at Hawaii and then at Oregon. They actually put Oregon to the last minute of the game. So this is a huge game. Both teams know it. I think that SCSU can do some things that Fresno can. And Fresno can do some things that SCSU doesn't do well.
Like move the ball on offense.
Yes, exactly. And SCSU's defense is just incredibly elite. So honestly, it's just strength versus strength. And it'll come down to that matchup, Fresno's offense versus SCSU's defense. And if Fresno wins that battle, they'll win the game. So that's my big point. I'm struggling to find an angle in this one, but I think SCSU's correlated the under. So if you want to parlay that or just play Fresno team total under, if you like SCSU to win the game, I wouldn't hate either of those looks.
I think if I did have to play an angle, sadly, it would be SCSU team total under.
Yeah, I completely agree with that as well. I think it's like 23, or I think it's 22.5, which is kind of astronomical for them.
Yeah, I've got a tough time moving there. Part of it is because I think that Fresno State can kind of like control drives. Not that they're going to score a bunch, because I don't really think they will. But Fresno State is really good against the run, and they're solid against the pass. And I think especially if Greg Bell plays, they're just going to force feed him a bunch, and that clock is just going to be moving. And I'm not super confident in them putting up a big number. So not that I am any week.
Did you watch the SCSU game at all last week?
I watched about 10 minutes third quarter.
So Greg Bell sat the entire first half with an undisclosed injury and then played in the second half.
Interesting. So do you think it was suspensions?
Had to be. So I'm imagining he'll be ready for this week.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. That was good. We covered a bunch of ground there. Before we get into our favorite plays of the week, just a quick word from our sponsor, Anchor. All right. Thank you to Anchor. My favorite play. I'm going to take the honors from you. Screw you, James. My favorite play was Florida, Georgia over 50. I already kind of talked about that at length. If somehow you missed that and you're listening to this right now, I would suggest you go back and listen to when we were talking Florida, Georgia. James, your favorite play, which I think I like it. Oklahoma minus 19. Now, I thought you this would have been Oklahoma team total.
I mean, there's a ton of things I like. Honestly, we'll scrap this right now and say Oklahoma team total.
All right, sounds good. What's your buy for us? 43?
All the way up to 45.
Sounds good.
So the case for Oklahoma over 43.5, which I already bet, is Texas Tech. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, and Lincoln Riley has just absolutely owned this matchup. So in the 4 years he's been the coach of Oklahoma, they've scored 62 on Texas Tech, 55, 51, and 49. So every one of these totals has gone over 43.5. And in these games, another angle I'm liking is the first half. They scored 48 in the first half, 34, 28, and 28. Their first half team total is 23.5. If you want to attack it that way, I like that too. I just think Oklahoma's getting their points here. We saw last week they got shut out in the first half for the first time, I think, since 2014. So just very uncharacteristic for them. Honestly, embarrassing to do that against Kansas. Ultimately, they came back and won the game, but I think the message was sent. You can't do that again, especially on a nationally televised game. I think view this as a little bit of a statement game, a bounce back. So I think Oklahoma will certainly be ready and have some stuff ready in the first half. And then on the other side, Texas Tech's defense has been – I struggle with that acronyms for how bad they've been.
Horrendous.
Worse. Disgusting. Worse than that.
Garbage.
They've played two elite offense – not even elite, two good. Texas is an elite offense, I think, and TCU is a good offense. Against Texas, they allowed –
TCU is an explosive offense.
That's fair. That's fair.
I don't think Texas, they're very good.
Yeah. They can do some things well. But against Texas, they allowed 70 points, 42 of those in the first half. And against TCU at home, I might add, they allowed 52 points and 35 of those came in the first half. So obviously some holes on that defense. Holes everywhere at Texas Tech right now. Just let go of their head coach. I think there's a lot of stuff going on right now that they might not be fully focused in football. Obviously a huge game for them and they know they're up against it, but at the end of the day, Oklahoma's just too much, and I think they get theirs here. I think they go over 43.5 pretty early in the game.
Yeah, I agree. So Caleb Williams, and this I think this is insane, but he's played 2.5 games, right?
Yeah.
Or is it 3.5?
I believe 2.5.
So he already leads Power 5 quarterbacks in rushing EPA. In 2.5 games, which is insanity. And Texas Tech is horrible against the run. I think Oklahoma is going to do whatever they want. And I also think they're going to be able to kind of get margin easy towards the end of the game too. Don't be shocked if we see Spencer Rattler throwing some passes by at the end of this game. And I think that if he isn't, I don't think it's going to be very conservative. I think he's going to be chucking it downfield a little bit to kind of prove something. So I do think that'll be something to watch for here too. But man, Oklahoma's defense is disappointed.
Yeah, they have for sure. Yeah.
And I forgot to tease this throughout the podcast. I have something absolutely absurd that I would not blame anyone if they didn't bet towards the end.
No, it's a huge money line. Damn it.
Oh, it absolutely is. Hey, you don't have to bet it. That's fine. You don't got to put your nuts on the table, James. It's fine.
All right. When you give me your next handicap, I'm going to scroll through and just guess which one it is.
Okay, go for it. Actually, hold on. Before you do that, you've got one more, or yep. I guess four more. Yeah, but yeah. Your second favorite play, Miami, is they are at Pitt, correct?
Correct.
They're getting 9. And although we bet this at 11.5, which go us. Yep. And with a total is what, 61, 60.5?
61.
Okay, 61. What do you like in this game?
So I really like the over 61, or 62 rather. We bet that as well.
Yeah,
that's
we did.
Kind of gone down with some weather concerns and just some historical outliers. But I love Miami in this matchup too. 11.5 and 9. I mean, I bet it all the way down to 7.5. I will be playing the money line as well here. Crazy spot for Pitt. They came in last week as a favorite against Clemson and actually covered easily. As like a slight favorite in the dog this year, just like every year under Narduzzi, they've been outstanding, but the area they still struggle is as a big favorite. And that's exactly what they are here, over a touchdown. We've already seen them slip up this year against Western Kentucky at home, played an absolute shoot. I think they lost like 43-41 as 17.5 point favorites, I want to say. So it's already happened this year. I could easily see it happening again. On the other side of the football, Miami has really impressed me. everyone wrote him off about 3 weeks ago for that North Carolina game, myself included, you and I actually. The reports coming out that guys are transferring, guys weren't showing up to practice during the bye week, guys are quitting, all this and all that. And what have they done since then? They've covered 3 in a row. Last week they beat NC State outright. It's one of Chaz's 5 favorite plays.
Absolutely.
And their offense is firing right now. I mean, I love what I've seen from them. They're putting their heart and soul in every game. They're not, there's no quitting this team. And I just think not too many here. Really bad spot for Pitt. They just basically took the crown from Clemson in the ACC Coastal. I don't even know. And now you get a good Miami team that's hungry and wants to prove something with a freshman quarterback who's played outstanding football.
I think ever since his first half against Virginia, he's been outstanding.
Yeah, he's looked really good. I think just 9 is way too many here. I think Miami first half, Miami full game, Miami money line, whatever angle you want to play, I really like Miami here. Honestly, this is probably my favorite play. I just think the spot's really bad for Pitt and the line's up for Miami.
So I fully agree. And just so that I'm not repeating the same things you said about Miami, I'll talk about the over a little bit. First of all, Kenny Pickett is 5-1 to win the Heisman right now, or that's at least I looked at one book today and that's what I saw. That's absurd. Not that like, I don't think he has a chance to win, but the fact that freaking Kenny Pickett is 5-1 to win the Heisman in any year, it blows my mind. And you know what, James? I can guarantee there's been one podcast, and there's a lot of podcasts out there, that all year has been talking about a wide receivers coach. It's been this one because Brennan Marion is a genius. I don't know why. I don't know how he's not an offensive coordinator yet. But man, someone needs to hire him. Someone with a really bad offense. He should go to Wisconsin, maybe. I don't know. But he's not only has he transformed the Pitt receivers, which they went from like leading the ACC and like dropped ball passes and things of that nature to probably having been arguably the best receiving tandem in the ACC. And this offense is firing at all cylinders. And I think Clemson's defense is pretty good. I was so impressed with what Kenny Pickett did. He's been great. And of course, I echo all the same things you said about the Miami offense too. So I do like the over in this game. I think we get a bunch of points.
Yep. And Pitt does have a 2-game lead in the Coastal.
Yeah. Oh, and I've got it.
They've locked it up.
I've got a sweet number on them too. To win the ACC, I'm pumped. I think 30-1, and that was like week 5.
Yeah, I should have bet that. At that point, Clemson had already been exposed as a fraud.
Yeah. I remember. Well, we both should have bet like the 75-1 or whatever was out there when I texted you about it in the summer, but.
Yeah,
I will say
that's my be. I told you not to.
No, it's not. I completely understand why we both didn't. It's hard to trust Narduzzi often, especially in a spot of like good standing. So, and I think that psychology is also playing into our fade here.
Sure.
Yeah. My second favorite play is Virginia +3. I'll kind of keep this brief. I think Virginia's offense is outstanding. I also bet the over at 64, although I think that I should have just bet Virginia, waited and bet Virginia team total over. I think 3 is too many points. I think this game should be a pick. I bet on BYU last week, and I know I did that. I lost. I think for the most part, they've been overvalued all year. However, I still think that their offense is pretty solid. They run the ball really well, which is Virginia's Achilles heel just as a team in general. Wake Forest does not run the ball much, and I think they rushed for well over like 200 yards against Virginia when they played. I'm betting on who was, according to PFF, the highest graded quarterback in Brennan Armstrong, which I love. And I just think BYU is going to be gassed here. They've been playing a bunch of competitive games, or they like against Baylor, they've kind of been getting beat up by physical teams. And this is their playing for the 9th consecutive week without a break. I just think this is a good spot to buy Virginia against what's probably like a mentally and physically exhausted BYU football team. What do you think?
Wholeheartedly agree. You also failed to mention that Bronco Mendenhall is coming back home for revenge.
Love
and
it.
And he is going to get it. Virginia will be in my Moneyline round robin. I think they win this game. I've been so impressed by that offense. I mean, They put up a 40 burger every week, not a 50 burger, a 40 burger. They are consistently in the 40s, and I think they get what's theirs here. BYU hasn't covered the last three games. They've kind of come back down to earth. They were a little fraudulent to start the year, and it's obviously being exposed now. That defense just doesn't do it for me, and I think Virginia can kind of move the ball around, and whether it's through the air or on the ground, and just do their thing offensively. So I think Virginia is obviously very live here, and I do lean to that over with you.
All right. Colorado, Oregon, under 49 is my third favorite play. To start, and I know it's not exactly like the most widely used available stat, but I do think it's important. So if you just go by success rate on offense, Colorado is the worst in Pac-12 by a decent margin. However, if you go by passing success rate alone, they are the worst by 13% of the next best, and that is to Arizona, and they're still like a reasonable step down from the second or the third worst. This Colorado offense is bad. And they've actually been kind of scoring points, or they did against Arizona, which I think might have inflated the total just a bit. I think this should be 46 or 45. And now they have to go against Kayvon Thibodeau and what I think is a very solid Oregon defense. My real worry here is that there's a bunch of turnovers and Oregon scores a bunch of points just from short fields. But I don't think Colorado's defense is that as bad as their offense. So I do think we kind of get a conservative game plan with a lot of running from Mario Cristobal. And not that UW has been great this year. I do think it is still a rivalry week. So I think that plays into it. And Oregon is traveling to Washington next week to play them. What are your thoughts here?
You know, this play was not on my radar at all before I saw it on your five favorite bets. And listening to you talk about it, you kind of moved me on to it. Looking at Colorado's schedule, I mean, they've played a couple of good defenses. Against Texas A&M, they scored 7 offensively. Against Colorado, they got shut out. Against ASU, they scored 13. I wouldn't even consider USC a good defense. They scored 14 against them, and against Colorado, they scored 3.
I think USC's defense is horrible.
I mean, I just don't know how Colorado scores points here. You can make the argument that it is a sandwich spot, which it probably is for Oregon, and that's like they can catch Oregon sleeping, maybe with some guy who plays the first half, just maybe first half in general, score a little bit. But, I mean, when that offense comes back down to earth, they aren't going to score, and that defense hasn't been horrible. I mean, they've held their own in these contests against good teams. 49 does seem very high, and I do like this bet.
If this comes down to me losing this bet with Oregon scoring like 45 points or something, that's fine. I will have lost, but I just don't really see that happening. I also think the clock's going to be moving the whole game. So
oh, for sure. I feel like – oh, go ahead. Finish.
No, you go.
I was going to say, I feel like this is kind of a game where Oregon just runs the ball, run, just try to get out of there, knowing you could do enough on the ground and keep everyone healthy.
Exactly. Fully agree. Your third favorite play is we're getting ugly. The Iowa Hawkeyes getting 3.5 at Wisconsin. I agree, but I don't agree as much at this moment. So I'd like you to pump some confidence into me.
It's another game where I just don't understand the Wisconsin love. I mean, we've seen this in every big game. Penn State, they got money. Wisconsin, they got money.
Purdue.
Michigan, they – no, I'm saying Wisconsin. Oh, yeah. I mean, against Purdue, they did as well. I mean, and then Michigan, they got money as well. Every game, it doesn't make sense to me. The market loves this team. And granted, I do agree they should be better than their record indicates, but they should not be 3.5-point favorites against Iowa. This line suggests they're probably better on a neutral field, which is just not true. I think both these defenses are pretty comparable. Both these offenses probably are too. So they're pretty even teams, but getting 3.5 is just too much here. The key to this for Iowa was stopping the run and forcing Mertz to throw the ball. The reason Wisconsin won last week was because Mertz threw the ball 7 times. I think he had 8 dropbacks, and the ball he didn't throw, he was sacked, and a strip sack for a touchdown for Purdue. But if Iowa can stop the run here and force Wisconsin into third and 5 or longer and make them throw the ball, I think that sets up really well for them. They were out physical last week, or 2 weeks ago, I should say, by Purdue. And I just think that with a bye week, I think it's time for them to kind of collect. What are they doing wrong? Work on what they're doing in the trenches. A bunch of different things. I think 2 weeks to prepare for this game bodes really well for Iowa. I mean, they should have a really good game plan. Ferentz, as like a road dog, has been very good. Iowa, traditionally as a dog, has been very good. I just think they come out angry here. I think 3.5 is a little disrespectful. With a total of 36 to 37, whatever it is, just astronomically low. 3.5 definitely matters. And if you can get a hook, I really like it. At 3, I still like it, just not as much. Iowa definitely live in this game. And if it comes down to special teams too, Wisconsin's kicker is very bad, and Iowa actually has a pretty good kicker.
Iowa, every year is like,
yeah, they always have a top 10
kicker. And like any special team stat, it's like, one of the 10 best units.
Yeah. And I honestly think it's a field position battle. So special teams not often uses a handicap in most games, but here I think it does make a difference. I'll take the team with the better special teams. I think the better offense, which it's tough to say that, but it's probably true. And pretty similar defenses. So give me Iowa plus 3.5.
I like it. I agree. I'm excited to watch this game. I love watching these horrible, just like punt games. They're so boring, but I find enjoyment in it. All right, your fourth favorite play. We're going to South Bend, where North Carolina is getting 3.5 points against Notre Dame. I believe the total is 62.5, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I agree here. Tell me why you like North Carolina.
So the UNC offense is slowly coming together. We saw some struggles early in the year. That offensive line was brutal. No time for Sam Howell. The skill position guys dropping passes, but collectively as a unit, they're kind of figuring it out and meshing after 8 weeks. Kyle Hamilton, Notre Dame's all everything safety is also out. So that's huge. I think it opens up the route for some big plays for UNC, whether it be downfield or just short plays, screen passes turn into big plays. And on the other side, I think Notre Dame has just been really fluky all year. If you look at the box scores in a lot of these games, like that Wisconsin game I talked about, where Wisconsin was getting love in the market, they're even games, and they've been just getting a ton of turnovers. That Toledo game early in the year, the Purdue game even. Just a lot of turnovers and really good timing for plays that kind of flipped the game on its head. Even last week, they were outgained by USC by like 50 yards and beat them by 15. So I think definitely a little fraudulent. I think UNC off a bye can do some things, whether it be trick plays first half. I mean, we've talked about that a lot this podcast, but a lot of these teams are coming in off byes. And
yeah, we're going to see prep. A bunch of trick plays this Saturday.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Cool. But I think both these teams are pretty even. It's the same, pretty similar handicap to Iowa. I think just 3.5 is too many here. I think on a neutral, UNC and Iowa UNC and Notre Dame are pretty similar. And then another thing that bodes well for UNC too is Notre Dame has had struggle running the ball this year. And last year when they had this matchup, I mean, we saw Notre Dame just out physical and in the trenches, run for whatever they want. And then Ian Book was actually really efficient too. It's completely different this year. They haven't been able to run the ball with success. They're rotating through three quarterbacks trying to figure it out. I don't know if anybody really knows what the quarterback situation is for them.
Well, you know the adage, if you have two quarterbacks, you have
zero quarterbacks.
That's right.
And that's certainly the case here. I think UNC is super live. Like Iowa, this week, make my money line round robin. Like UNC a lot, plus 3.5.
I think this game could look very different from how it did last year. I think Notre Dame is going to be forced to score with North Carolina. And I'm not sure that Jack Cohn is the guy I want to put my trust in if he needs to win a shootout. Sam Howell's been outstanding, and like he's been forced to be more aggressive to keep North Carolina in games. So maybe that's why you see a tick up in interception totals or things of that nature, but his arm talent is still undeniable. And the chemistry he's kind of forged with Josh Downs, who is his best receiver at the moment. They have like more 25 yard passes than I'm sure some teams do. So I like that alone is enough to just get me on to UNC plus 3.5 and money line, especially with Kyle Hamilton out. So, which is a bummer. Kyle Hamilton is so, so special, and watching him versus Sam Howell would have been really fun to watch, but we got money to win, James. So we're betting North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
I'm up, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I am. Florida State, Clemson over 47 for me. So Clemson had a bunch of offensive players out last week with, I think, a couple were injury, but others were COVID stuff. They get back Joseph Nagata, which is important. He's like a meaningful receiver. He's their second best receiver behind Justin Ross, I'd say. And I love what they're doing this week where they haven't committed to a quarterback. And that makes it harder for Florida State's defense to prepare. And I also think it's a good message to not only send DJ and the backup Tyson Fomachon, I think his name is Fomanchin.
Yeah, I have no idea how to pronounce it.
It's a very long name, but he actually wasn't that bad. He was able to run the ball quite a bit too. But I think it sends a good message, and I think we see Clemson's best offensive performance of the year, which I'm glad I can say that because they're playing. I wouldn't say that FSU's defense is like, oh, so atrocious and bad, but it's not good. And because they do have talent on there if you look hard enough to find it. But that's not how they're going to stay into this game. Florida State's going to stay in this game if they score along with Clemson, which I actually think they can, especially if Jordan Travis is playing. Has he been taking most of the snaps, right?
Yes.
Okay. His ability to run the ball can kind of like open up way more for Florida State. And I do think that he is a good enough passer of the ball to take advantage of and this is more so in like the intermediate, like short to intermediate passing. I don't really trust Florida State throwing deep on Clemson's corners, but I think Florida State's able to move the ball on short passes and intermediate passing enough to where they have to keep like Florida State's able to like it opens up more of the run game, which that's where Florida State has been best at all year. So I love this over 47. I think it's too low. I think it should be closer to 50 or 51. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's the buy low of buy lows for Clemson totals. I mean, we've kind of been talking about this for a few weeks now. I mean, it has to bottom out at some point. They have not gone over a single game, and they have not covered a single game. It's pretty remarkable through seven games to see that. At some point, the market's going to over-adjust, and I think this might be it.
Fifth play, TCU. K-State over 58.5. All right. So this is something that I have this written in my notes. This is something I'm not trying to overthink. And part of that is TCU's rush defense is atrocious. And the other part of that is that K-State's defense has gotten themselves into a bunch of like shootout games where teams are passing the ball on them. And then like K-State is forced to kind of come back, and like this happened, like this was last week where they had to come back into the game to pull out a win. I think we might see this again. I don't really have much of an opinion on the side because I think this is TCU at a low point. And I don't necessarily want to fade K-State here because I do think they have matchup advantages, but all those matchup advantages are on offense, and their secondary has kind of been getting torched recently. And I have full faith that I think Max Duggan is pretty good. And sure, he gets kind of caught making mistakes sometimes, but they are just always so live for like that 40-yard pass or Duggan for like a 20-yard run that I think TCU is going to put up enough points here. And I think that this does kind of turn into a back and forth kind of offensive game. And I actually think it would be a pretty good game to watch regardless of, how you feel about Big 12 football. So TCU, K-State, over 58.5 for me. Any thoughts?
We're going to bet on this one. I think we talked about a pre-show.
Oh, yeah, we did.
I just took a hibernation. And the last thing I did before was bet the under in this game, actually. So we do have a little disagreement here. I just think both these teams, like, know each other really well. If you look at the last few years, it's been all one possession games, like 24-17. 2017 type of games. And even last week, we saw some lower scoring games from offenses that have previously had higher scoring outputs. K-State had like 49 total points against Texas Tech. The defense played a little better, especially in the second half after getting obliterated in the first half. And then on the other side, TCU was kind of stifled by West Virginia. And we were higher on them scoring points last week than probably are this week. I just think there's a lot of familiarity here. And I think both teams can stop each other offensively. I'm not saying there's no chance this goes over, because I think there's a fair chance with the explosive play potential of both these offenses. But I definitely kind of like the under here, and we will have a bet on this one.
Great. Looking forward to it. Although I think you got me on you got me on with Army and Wake last time.
Yeah.
That was one of the most fun football games I've watched in a long time.
That should have been our takeaway.
That was awesome. Triple option versus just full out spread, and Wake had the ball for what? 13 minutes the entire game?
14 minutes or something.
And
scored 70 points.
That's insanity. That was awesome. Which this kind of is a good segue into your final play. I love this. I was texting about this, I think, Saturday during the game.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you included this. Duke. This is Duke. They are 15-point dogs, I believe, against Wake.
Yep.
And your bet here is a team first half team total over of 13.5. So it is specific, but there is reason to it. Talk about it a little bit.
There's a method to the madness. If you watch that game last week against Army, you will see that Wake Forest's run defense is
an astonishingly
bad. Oh my God.
It's an insult to old football. Think like the 85 Bears would probably be like, I mean, they're probably all still alive, but if they were dead, they would be rolling in their graves.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure CTU's gotten a few of them. That was a long time ago, but we did a little intel before this, and of Wake's 7 top tacklers or leading tacklers on the team, 5 are DBs, 1's a defensive lineman, and their leading tackler is actually a linebacker who was ejected last week in the second half.
No, he's not even their leading tackler. He's their third leading tackler.
Oh, I think he's their leading tackler.
No, he's like by far their best linebacker.
Oh, yeah. So he's out the first half, which is the main reason for this. But, I mean, if you watched that game last week, Army got whatever they want whenever they wanted. The reason Wake covered that game, and I will admit it was basically a toss-up, was a fourth down
fake punt pick six.
it's unbelievable. That's actually what happened. At that point, they dug themselves too big of a hole. But Duke actually runs the ball pretty well, despite being shut out 2 weeks ago at Virginia. That offense has had signs of life all season. I think that shutout is creating a little bit of value here. Duke also had a bye week last week, so more time to prep, kind of reflect on the performance, throw it away, prep for next week, watch film on what Army did and hopefully duplicate that. There's no way that Wake can do what they did or what Virginia did against Duke 2 weeks ago. And honestly, I could see a bit of a hangover here. These some tired legs, defense just not playing that well. Physical game, you're on the field for literally 3/4 of the game, and I think Army ran probably 80-90 plays. That's not easy when it's triple option and every play you're in the trenches, chop blocks, all this and all that. I just think Duke can do enough here. Durant's been good for them all year. I think you throw that one game of Virginia out, this offense is not that bad. With some pre-scripted stuff and some film on Wake Forest, I could easily see Duke getting there. I think they could score 21 this first half, 28. Love first half over 13.5. If you want to play them full game plus 17 or team total over, would not hate that either, but I'm looking to target the first half.
So I'm in full agreement. I do think there's all. So one thing I don't really know if you touched on or not, but Wake Forest's defense was on the field for a long time. And when you just keep getting like cut blocked and all this stuff, it definitely wears on you. So they're definitely going to be feeling it this week a little bit. So I think they could definitely come out a little flat. I think there is a little value on Duke first half team, or excuse me, Duke first half money line, just because I do think beating Army like that could, like, undefeated season still intact. I think that could be seen as like kind of like a big win. You might be out, you might be celebrating that a bit, and maybe you're not taking, you know, the step down in competition to Duke super seriously. And with a week to prepare, I think Duke could be a little live here. But I love that team total over 13.5 is way too low.
Agreed.
Especially with the total so high.
Yeah. I was pretty surprised. I thought it'd be like, honestly, like 14.5 or 15.5. Getting under 14 is pretty huge though.
Agreed. But it's time, James. Do you have a guess?
Yeah, I had two actually pulled up.
Okay.
One of them was UL Monroe.
Okay.
The other one's U of A.
Interesting. What are the money line prices on those?
They aren't even offered. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Well,
sorry.
No. Well, U of A is a 21-point dog, right?
Yeah, and UL Monroe is 27.5. Are you going to go with Kansas?
Oh, baby, we're going with Kansas.
Oh, man.
They are 20-1 to win this game. And you better believe I am betting on that. Kansas just shut out Oklahoma's defense in the first half of that game. And I'm going to be honest, that was not very fluky. I think they are hungry for a win because they've just been getting embarrassed every game this year. Actually, they have one win, right, against FCS team?
No, they have not won.
They have not. Oh, no, yeah, I no, love no, this they, so much more.
No, games. they actually won week one. They won week one. Sorry. Okay. Misspoke.
And now you get an Oklahoma State team that they're still live for the Big 12 title, but they just lost to Iowa State, who I believe takes over for them in the standings, right, by a tiebreaker.
What's that? Sorry, I was facing now.
Iowa State is now second place in the Big 12.
Yes, that is a true statement.
And I didn't even look who they play next week. And at West Virginia next week. So I don't think that's much of a look ahead, but I don't think Kansas's passing offense is that bad. And I think that they might be able to move the ball a little bit. Obviously, it's 20-1. Like, that's what you would bet on, like, a golfer to win a golf tournament, to put things into perspective on that. But I will absolutely be betting $50 on this to try and win 1,000. I think they are very live here. And I think what they did against Oklahoma was kind of legit. They outgamed Oklahoma last week.
And they controlled the clock. And they kept that offense off the field.
And unless you take what was like a sketchy rule skirt, which I'm proud of that. I love kind of like messing with the rules a little bit. Also, actually, we need to talk about that. That play from Caleb Williams is one of the most insane things I've ever seen. And
yeah. It was like the Ed Reed versus Boston College play. If you've ever seen that, you've definitely seen it. He wrestles it out of the defensive lineman's hands and he takes it to the house.
Yes. It was insanity.
But he only got 3 yards instead of taking it to the house.
Yeah. What a bum. That being said, it took a wildly fluky game like that to take away the opportunity for Kansas to take the lead. And I genuinely believe that they would have getting the ball at midfield like that. I think they win that game. And I think that I think it's a good coach. I really do. I think Lance Leopold is a good coach and he's the coach, right? I'm not making that up. Yeah. Okay,
yeah. Former good. Buffalo guy. Yeah.
I think they are live in this game. You know what? Don't take the 30. Cause that's not worth it. Like, it's not because like they could easily lose this game by 40 points. Well, like,
I mean, 30 is a lot to play with, especially when Oklahoma State's offense has not been.
But that's also my point. Now they're downgrading on offense to also a far less physical team too. I think Kansas is going to be live in this game. I'm excited. I cannot wait. So go Jayhawks, baby. Jason Bean, you're my boy. He's going to do it. All right. Everyone can stop listening to my idiotic rant. Thank you all for listening, everyone. This is a good episode. It's actually kind of long too. So sorry.
That was a lengthy one. No, there's a lot of good information.
Sorry if people enjoy the brevity, but we gave you guys a lot of good information there. This is a great weekend of college football. It's going to be even better when my 20-1 dog hits. I'm so happy you didn't guess Kansas and that you went lower. Oh, that made me happy.
I saw it and I almost did it. I was like, there's no way.
But if anyone does end up tailing me on that, I will be so happy. And then I will apologize now when they do lose by 35 points. But that's why I'm saying don't bet the spread. The value is on the money line. It is. This could also very much look like my Georgia Tech bet last year.
It's bringing up shades of that.
Yeah, it's just very slightly. But once again, thank you guys for listening. Follow us on Twitter at the Sharpside Pod. Rate, review, and subscribe at Apple Podcast. On Spotify, when I posted one poll on Spotify or something like that, and I think we had one person respond to it, which was I thought was kind of funny that just one person did. But whoever did thought Matt Corral was winning the Heisman. So I'm sorry. I don't really agree. This is also like 4 weeks ago, but yes, to my Spotify listener there, I'm glad you follow us. I'm glad you follow the feed. And we've got NFL coming tomorrow too. So be on the lookout for that. For Sharpside Podcast, thank you guys for listening. Go Kansas Jayhawks and let's win some money this weekend. Thanks, guys.